All right. Well, thank you for coming to my session. My name's Alan Birchall. This is the BYOD Information Sharing Using Work Folders in the Enterprise session. So if you don't think that's the session you're here for, you're in the wrong session. But this session is going to be looking at a BYOD information sharing information sharing tool that allow your users to access the files for the information that they want to access at home or at work or where in the field or out and about. So when I first heard about work folders, I was actually very excited about the technology. It's pretty cool. I think a lot of people are all about BYOD now in the enterprise. All right, bring your own device, of course, if you don't know what that means. And it's really, this is really a great first step, all right, for you to be able to start doing BYOD in your organization. So, I'm going to put the related content at the start, because if you do it at the start, you don't have to go to the end of the slide deck to find all the related content when you download the slides. So, there are a heap of work folder sessions on Channel 9. So, the Channel 9 is the video repository of events. So, I would recommend going to there. I have already done a work folder session last year. There are a number of other work folder sessions. This is kind of a mashup of all of them put together. So, no need to look at any others except for mine, of course. But other than that, you can also follow me on Twitter. I've got the whole Twitter at Alan Birchall. Facebook.com/group policy and my website, grouppolicy.computer. Or if for some reason you don't support top-level domain names of .computer, you can also go grouppolicy.biz or just Google on Bing Group Policy Central and you'll find my website. Okay, so work folders. Here to talk to you about work folders. What are work folders? How do you configure work folders? Some of the advanced security features of work folders. Where can I use work folders? And what do I need as a prerequisite for work folders? So first of all, what is work folders? Now, there are a bunch of services, programs, applications, web, cloud-enabled solutions online that do very similar things that work folders already does, right? So what I'll do is I'll start with, this is the analogy. If you want to try to explain it to your manager, if you want to try to explain it to someone in the elevator pitch, you just say, this is X, insert name here. I would always use OneDrive, of course. That's why it's big and bold, because, you know, we're at a Microsoft conference and OneDrive is great. Have you just heard that they've upped the file limit on OneDrive to 10 gig? That's awesome. So it's like OneDrive for the enterprise, all right? Now, there are definitely some differences between these sorts of services, but basically it's having your personal files or your work-related files that are for you, the person, so they're not necessarily personal files, although they could be, available to you on all your devices and that on your local hard drive, basically. So just like Dropbox, just like OneDrive, the files are on your local hard drive, but they're synchronized to a back-end server. Okay, I'm also going to go through and cover a bit of what they're not, because sometimes people go, oh, well, I wanted to do this, and it's like, well, that's not what that was intended to be done, used for. So it's also good to cover these things just to clarify. So it's not a consumer service. This is not something you would use for your parents, unless, of course, they worked for the same company that you worked for. Then yes, but no. Generally, this is not a consumer service. This is not a cloud service, right? This is an on-premise service. Now, I am not anti-cloud. I am pro-cloud. The cloud is great, but if you think the cloud is not so great and you just don't want to use the cloud, this is the service for you because you host work folders on your own servers on-premise, okay? You host them. Now, it is supportable to have a virtual machine in Azure running the work folder service. So you can run it in the cloud, right? Infrastructure as a service. You just spin up a Windows server in the cloud, install the work folder role, and there you go. You have it on the internet. And in fact, for testing and trial purposes, that's probably a really great idea, because you can sign up for an Azure trial without credit card, spin up a box, and you can start testing it straight away. It's already on the internet, so you don't have to worry, and you just have to, you know, publish the right inbound rules, and away you go. Maybe that's a good step for testing. But it is designed to be an extension of your existing file servers, or maybe a new file server, but similar Windows file servers. And it's also designed to be able to protect the data. So encryption of the data at rest, so where it is stored, and in transit. So obviously when it's being transmitted over the internet, you don't want that to be in clear text. It's also designed to have separation. So you can have your work folders and you can have your personal files. And you can have them in a way that never the two shall meet. You know, there's nothing stopping someone putting a personal file in a work folder. But as the name suggests, work folders are all about work. And it's also designed to be very simple, certainly from the end user point of view, to be able to set up. Now, there's some things you have to do to be able to set that up to make it easy for them, and I'll go through that, all right? But it is designed to be as easy as possible. An analogy I also use with work folders is there's a lot of terms and concepts in work folders that are very similar to Exchange and ActiveSync, how you have auto discovery in Exchange, and how users can set up Exchange accounts using just by typing in their email address. You'll probably find throughout the session, you might notice that there are some similarities, and that's not, you know, by coincidence. They've actually, you know, thought about, you know, Exchange. Everyone knows how to set mail up on their phone, so very similar concepts, basically, with work folders than there is to Exchange ActiveSync. So what do you need to get work folders working? Work folders is basically something that lives on your file servers. So this is your Windows Server 2012 R2 file servers. That is a mandatory prerequisite. You have to have a single Windows Server 2012 R2 file server. All right? It's a new type of share, all right? So that's why it needs to have the back end, right? It's completely new. So that share is a new sync protocol over HTTPS. So this is not SMB. This is designed to traverse firewalls using the universal firewall bypass port, which is called 443. All right? It is designed to be accessible, just like, again, this is another similarity to ActiveSync, accessible from almost anywhere on the internet, right? 443, you need an encrypted channel, so encrypted in transit, HTTPS encryption, and it needs to be able to be accessible. So you want to be able to have this work behind, you know, some corporate firewalls, et cetera, et cetera. The files are actually stored on disk, right? Those files can also, however, be shared using a standard SMB share, all right? Similar to how you could have an SMB share and you could share it via IIS as well, right? You could also share it by FTP. Like, you can have multiple shares pointing to the same actual folder on your disk, right? And you can do that with this. That was certainly more important when it first came out. It's probably not so much now, and I'll go into that why in a minute. But you can have it connecting multiple different ways. So for your legacy clients or for clients that might not have work folders installed, if you can still access it via SMB share, you can still access those files in a traditional way. It is a Windows Server 2012 R2 role, server role, right? And just like all the other server roles, especially around the file servers, they're all designed to basically work together. All right, so there are other file server roles. I have no prizes, so I can't give you anything, but does anyone know of another file server role? DSRM? Yep. What? DFS? Dedupe. Very good one. Quotas, another good one. All right, so it's designed to work with those other file server roles. Okay, so another commonly asked question is that can I have a NAS, right, serving up an SMB share, right? So a non-Windows NAS serving up SMB share. Can I have my work folders point to that storage? The answer is no. Right. This does, in the V1 of the product, require locally attached disk. Now, what do I mean by locally attached disk? It needs to present itself as a LUN to the operating system. right? That can be done by iSCSI, it can be done by Fibre Channel, it can be done by direct attached storage, all right? But it needs to see, the operating needs to be able to see that disk as a LUN, all right? Because there's a lot of metadata information around the files that are on the disk that it needs to keep in track of, all right? So that's why it can't do remotely via SMB. So I mentioned before, there's this concept of work folder share. So you have to create a new share type. I will go through that and show you how to create a new share type, all right? You also have a requirement for PKI. Remember I said HTTPS in transit is for the encryption. HTTPS requires certificates. Now, you can use your own internal certificate authority, all right, for doing this. So from a cost point of view, that keeps, you know, the actual cost of certificates down. You can also use a PKI service. All right, there's some advantages to using the public PKI service. You might want to use it for some scenarios. You might want to just stick with internal, and that's totally fine. My demos all use internal certificates. All right, but of course, you know, depending on your requirements, your mileage may vary. So this is just a bit of an overview. These are the commonly compared services. Obviously, these are all the Microsoft offerings. They are all have their specific use in their own special way. All right, OneDrive. All right, it's consumer personal data, and it's for personal devices. Mum and dad, your laptop, your phones, any sort of device, right? It is a consumer device. It's also a cloud service. OneDrive for Business, okay, allows you, and this is an important differentiation between OneDrive for Business and WebFolders, teams collaborating on files. There's no team or collaboration sharing with WebFolders. WebFolders are for an individual, all right? You're not going to be sharing your company data work drive that has all the common work files that everyone saves their information to, right? You're going to be sharing data similar to users' home drives. Okay, that sort of information. So the information the users keep in their home drives, you could, in theory, migrate them to work folders, right? So this is kind of a direct replacement to home drives. So OneDrive for Business, you can have it on personal devices, you can have it for individual, but it's certainly not a consumer service. Work folders, individual work data, you can have it on personal devices. The data location is on your file server, so again, not the cloud. And then back to your classic folder redirection, client-side caching, where you hold home drives and My Documents directory, you are able to cache that information on your laptop and your user comes back in. Of course, those machines needed to be domain joined because you need to set up group policies to be able to synchronize, you know, configure where they synchronize to and all that other stuff. So that's just a bit of a comparison there of the services. One of the really important features, though, of work folders is that in Windows 8.1, they introduced a concept called selective remote wipe. So who here ever had, again, using ActiveSync, who here ever had a phone connected to their organization, or someone had a personal phone and they said, oh, I've lost my phone, can you do a remote wipe, please? And they said, sure, we'll do it via ActiveSync. And then, you know, someone went, oh, okay, yeah, do a remote wipe, it has corporate data on it, sure. And then they do a remote wipe and the whole phone has just been factory reset. And it's like, oh, I just found my phone and all my photos are gone. Oh no, right? Selective remote wipe doesn't wipe the entire device. It only wipes the corporate enterprise data on that machine, all right? Excuse me. So you can do it via Intune. Intune has the ability to do selective remote wipe within Intune itself for different devices. And also SSCM 2012 R2. So if you do want the selective remote wipe functionality, you do need to have either Intune or SSCM 2012 R2. And that will give you that option for selective remote wipe. So if it's a Windows 8.1 device, it will give you the ability to go just wipe the corporate data on that. It's not actually deleting files. As you'll see in a minute, it's just the files are just encrypted. So a really good way to prevent access to those encrypted files is to simply just clear the keys that are required to access those files. Files are still there on the disk. You're not going to be churning the disk, deleting gigabytes of files. you're just going to invalidate the ability to actually open those files. All right, so the files won't disappear. They'll just be encrypted and you'll have no ability to decrypt them. So that's what it means by selective remote wipe. So work folders clients, what can I use work on? What devices can I have work folders on? Right, Windows 8.1 domain joined, yes. If it's a Windows 8.1 domain, no problem. It's always been able to support work folders. Work folders are something that will work quite happily. It's native, out of the box. There's no agent required to be installed. It's just there. It needs to just be configured and enabled. Windows 8.1 non-domain joined, no problem. The user can actually go out and go into Control Panel and set up work folders themselves. All right, no problem. You can publish it online. If you don't want to publish online and you allow them to connect their own personal devices to your own corporate network, yes, they can have it there and they can use it to be connected just internally. So take the files with them home, bring back, plug into corporate company. Files will just synchronize up when they plug it back into your own network if you choose to have it that way. Windows 8.1 RT. Okay, so those Surface 1s, Surface 2s, guess what? You can use it for work. It has Office installed on them, right? That has the agent in the operating system out of the box, right? So Surface RT, all right. And also, Windows 7 domain joined machines are supported. So, very important distinction. So Windows 7 non-domain joined machine, so Windows 7 machine at home, no, you cannot use work folders. There are certainly some restrictions around work folders using Windows 7 clients, but if your machine is domain joined, if you have a Windows 7 SOE, who here has a Windows 7 SOE in their environment? Yeah, okay, so you can all still install it, right? You can use it, absolutely. The reason is that there's some extra functionality in Windows 7 that's just not there. Selective remote wipe is one of them, so they have to do the encryption a slightly different way. And the ability to enforce policies. And again, analogy is ActiveSync. So you can have policies come down via ActiveSync to say require 4-digit PIN, right? And the phone will do that, right? There's no ability to do that within Windows 7, right? But there is in Windows 8.1, right? So that's why it needs to be domain joined, because you need an alternate method, which is group policy, to be able to configure those extra security features. And there's the download link there for the Windows 7 agent, because you do need to go and install the agent on Windows 7. These slide decks will be online, so you can download them, and I have a bunch of useful other slides, links in the slide deck as well, so I would definitely strongly recommend downloading the slides for all those useful links, but moving right along. So now I'm going to demonstrate. Before I do that, I'm just going to unlock my machine here. Very good. Now I'm going to do the demo, so enough talking. Excellent. All right, so this is a Windows Server 2012 R2 server. You can also see this, excellent. This has got the work folders role already installed, okay? So you have to go add it as a role. It's not there by default, and then you'll basically blank UI like this, so it's pretty easy. To create a new share, click here, starts the wizard. All right, so this is just going to step me through the steps that I require to implement work folders at work folder share. Interesting to note, works with other file server roles. You can cluster a work folder server. So if you have a Windows 2012 R2 cluster, file server cluster, you can have the work folder role as a clustered resource. So it is compatible with clustering for high availability. However, high availability with work folders isn't that big of a deal because you still have a copy of your files on your local machine. Right? It's just like, you know, Outlook cache mode. Like if the Exchange server goes down for 5 minutes, well, people can't send emails, but they don't lose access to their emails. Similar concept. All right, so what I'm going to do, you notice here it says select by file share, so that's only saying select by file share that on the file share would be listed on the local server. So it's not a remote file share it's talking about there. But we're just going to enter a local path here, and you know, one I've created earlier, of course, is just C work folders. Now, I would never recommend you put it on the operating system drive, but for the purposes of this demo, you understand that that's fine. So C work folders. Now, here it's going to ask me, how do I want the work folders to look Do I want a user alias? So in other words, user alias is just take the SAM account name and put that as a folder. So, you know, you have multiple folders. You need to be able to separate them because you don't want all the work folders appearing in the one folder. Or do I want to put in alias at domain name? So if you have a multi-domain environment, multi-domain, multi-forest environment, or multi-tree, sorry, you can have the at domain name there to keep uniqueness between domains for usernames, so you don't have conflicts, all right? I find that I usually pick the user at domain. It's just something that, you know, I seem to do. It makes it a lot easier. This other feature here, sync only the following subfolders. So one of the things that they said you can do is if the user has a home drive, you could synchronize their home drive using work folders, but you might not want to synchronize the entire home drive because you've got my pictures and save games and contacts and all those other folders in there. You might just want to pick the documents folder itself in the user's home drive. So if you wanted to do that, what you could do is you could go sync just the following subfolders and you could put in documents like that. And if you'd pick the same share as your home drives, it will then only synchronize WAC share name, WAC username. So if you're doing that, you'd probably have to select user alias, WAC document. So it only synchronize the document subfolder of their existing share. So I'm not saying that's the best idea, but some people really want to just go, oh, I want work folders, and I just want people to have access to their existing My Documents drive. I'm not going to do that, but just so long as you're aware that that's available. So this is the share name. So this is like the name of the share, like, you know, you have file server share names, and you can put a description in there, yeah, fair enough. Now here is where it's going to ask you for a group. So for you, a user to be able to have work folders available to them, they must be a member of at least one security group, and that one security group needs to say, this is the user in that group, and these are the users that are available in the share. So unlike a standard SMB share where you could just throw in the everyone group, right, you need to be able to specify an actual synchronization group. So here I've got, you know, again, one I've created earlier. There we go. So I'm just going to pick this group here called Workfolders 1. I'm going to select that. So it's just said that's the domain name, that's the group. Now I'm going to disable this inherited permissions here. So this is like that grant exclusive access feature that you had on the folder redirection. So this allows your IT administrator to be able to go in and actually look in the user's folders. If you don't have that ticked, it means basically just the user has permission to and system has permission to those folders, rather than an administrator. So you can't actually go in and snoop or investigate the user's home drives. And here is where you can actually specify a policy. So it's actually going to say, if you want work folders enabled on your machine, you have to encrypt the work folders themselves, and you have to have an automatic lock screen and require a password for your device. So for Windows 8.1 non-domain joined devices at home, this is really handy, right? Because someone goes in and, you know, you're basically now actually enforcing, similar again to ActiveSync security policies to Windows machines, right? So this is a way to do it. So I'm going to tick this. And this just gives you a summary, and you just click Create. Why do these things always run slower when you're doing the demo? Like, this takes 2 seconds. Ta-da! Yay. So now we have a share. So here it is, the share. And you notice, actually, just down here in a sec, so it's loading user data. Loading, loading, loading. Please wait. Your call is important to us. Loading, loading, loading. What it's doing is going off and it's interrogating the group membership of that security group that I specified before. And so what it should hopefully show us in a minute is user Alan has ability to access this work folder share. Wow. Seriously, I've done this 5 times and it was never that slow. All right, doesn't matter. It's still loading. Well, while it's loading, I'm going to go to a client. Hopefully by the time it's loaded. Hey! These are solid state drives. And I've got a 16 gig of RAM. Let's go. Anyway, so there you go. If you had 100 users in this group, you would have 100 users listed there, but basically I only have one user in this group, so that's why I only have one. So domain, username, share. I have options here. I can actually go in on the users, and I can actually suspend the users. I can have a look at some properties of the users. I can have a look at the devices they've been synchronizing with this using work folders. Again, you could do this with Exchange Active Sync. Very similar concepts. It's not the same, it's just similar concepts. All right, so now I have a domain join machine here and I'm logged on as Alan. All right, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna launch work folders and I'm just gonna set this up. And so this is just kind of like, you know, your bog standard, how you would do standard testing, you know. I'm gonna show you in a minute how to do this a bit smarter. So what you have to do for testing is, because we haven't set up auto-discover, is you have to actually type in the URL of the endpoint for work folders. So in this case, it's workfolders1.corp.local. All right. Now, because I'm logged on as a domain user, and because my account has the email address attribute set in Active Directory, it knows to find that email attribute in Active Directory, and it knows that that's my email address, because it usually uses the email address. You usually can type in an email address in there when auto-discover is enabled, and what it will do is take that email address, chop it where the at symbol is, and by default, it'll try to find workfolders.domainname, all right? But I haven't got that set up yet, so this is how you would hard code the URL. You'd just type in the URL. Again, you'd only do this really for testing. You'd probably want to set up auto-discover in advance. So it does take a little bit. This one does actually take a little bit more than just a few seconds, but it should take about 10 or 15 seconds. Basically, what it's doing, it's going out, it's interrogating the work folder share, looking at the security, authenticating the user. Are you a member of this group? Yes, you're a member of this group. Right, you're on this work folder share. All right. Something else that you can do is you can actually set up multiple shares on the same server. So while that's ticking away there, I'm not going to just let you watch that. I might actually create that second work folder share, which I'm just going to use in just a sec. So now what I'm going to do is going to create a second work folder share, which you'll see why I need to do in a sec. Go in. This is going to be basically my work folder share for my... Is there something smashing my system? Disk 0, 0, memory. No, okay. So I'm just going to select this folder here, which is work folder 7. So this is actually a second share on my work folder server. That's interesting. Again, I'm just going to select user at domain name. Boy, I hope that's going to work. Work folder 7 is the share name. So you actually, users actually never map to the share. They actually interrogate the server and say, this is me, this is the groups I'm a member of, and the server itself actually works out, hey, you're a member of this security group is mapped to that share, so you need that share. Okay? Again, I'm just going to add another group. So this group, right, so here I've got a second security group called Work Folders Windows 7 Users. Oh, thank God. I was a bit worried there. So as you can see, I mean, for a demo that was a long time, but you know, for an end user, the things that it's done is it's just basically gone and interrogated the file server and done all that. So basically it's jumped to that, it knows who I am now, and it's selected where do you want to keep these work folder information, but by default it'll put it in the user's profile. All right, a new subfolder underneath the user's profile, see users, /username/workfolders. I'm just going to go next there. Remember how I selected the policies for my machine? If I'm a user at home, this is my opt-in or opt-out. Yeah, actually, no, it's opt-in because it's not ticked. All right, you're saying that, yeah, I want my machine configured this way. If I don't accept this, it won't configure, right? Because you said you need these policies. I'm saying I don't want these policies, so you're not getting it. So the user has to accept this. So if it's their personal device, they have to accept these corporate policies. I'm just going to go set up there. So work folders has started synchronization with your PC. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, and close. There we go. So there we go. It's just synchronizing in the background. So this is a control panel applet here. It's just doing its first synchronization. You've got the option there to sync files over metered connections. And I have a folder here that's now appeared under this PC called Work Folders. Right, that maps, like I said, to a folder here called Work Folders, which is under the user's profile. All right, so while that's just doing its first initial sync, because it just wants to get synced up and things seem to be running slow, so I'm just going to let that have a minute to think about something. I'm going to go back here and continue working on this other share on the server. So work folder's Windows 7 users, okay? And now John is my Windows 7 user, all right? So I'm going to go next, and I'm going to require encrypted folders, but I'm not going to require lock screen and require password. Remember, these machines need to be domain joined, right? You've probably already got a group policy applied to these machines that says it has a lock screen and it requires a password because it's domain joined. I don't hope anyone is allowing users to log on to their domain without passwords. If you do, this is really not the session for you. Go back and fix that now, all right? So I'm just going to create another share while that's running. All right, so here we are. We're all synced up. Have 114 gigabytes available on my server. Woohoo! Let me copy my MP3 collection then, right now. Anyway, so it tells them the user how much space they've got available. While that's just running there, I'll go back in here. There you go, it's created that other folder. What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to open the raw folder on this file on the work folder server, the actual folder where it's located on disk, and show you the time it takes to synchronize between the two. Is maintenance in progress? No. Seriously. Wow. There we go. Oh my goodness. You've got to be joking. Okay. I don't know what. Yeah, I'm trying. No wonder it's running slow. Like, oh, look at that. Stop! Okay, it's gonna quieten down. Sorry about this. Oh, thank goodness. Oh, seriously, like I apologize. All right. Yeah. Hey, let me do a dance. All right, so I'm going to go to the folder where the work folders is. So notice how I selected Alan at, and I said domain name, so it's put corp there. So that's my unique folder. Like, I could have a bunch of users there with different unique names. Why did it create the document? Bug. Anyway, so what I'm going to do is go into my work folders and I'm going to create a file. So look over here on the left, text, document. So now what it's doing is it's basically got an open HTTPS connection from the client on the right to the server on the left. And it's basically push replication. So if I create a file on my workstation, it should appear automatically on my machine, on the server on the left. And it should appear, 3, 2, 1, do something now, please. All right, so there's this button called Sync Now that you can also go in and just press it to actually initiate a remote connection, a remote synchronization. I know, and I didn't actually, I unchecked that. Hey, there it is. Okay, well, I did type the word in documents there and I unticked it, but it was still there and grayed out, so it looks like it actually picked the value up. Who knew? Anyway, so on the left there is the file on the server. On the right is the information on my client. So I'm just going to create another text document. So I've just created it on the right here, and then hopefully it's going to appear on the left here very soon after. It does take about 10 seconds. So I am going to hold my breath. No, it's okay. It'll do it. Yes! Oh, I can breathe. All right, so that's about the latency. That is honestly about the latency that I was expecting. So basically, the file synchronization is quite quick to get that file up, okay? And they do have the sync now. So moving right along, we've seen we have available work folders. We've set it up, and it's a domain joined machine, so you won't ask for any authentication. So the next thing is, well, I just set up this other share for Windows 7. Now, remember, this Windows 7 share doesn't have the encryption policies applied to it, which is important because if I didn't, the Windows 7 client would wail at me saying that your computer does not support the correct policies. So I'm going to go over here. I'm still logged on as a domain. This is a domain join machine, and I'm logged on as John. All right, so I've installed that hotfix already. Notice it has added this option here called work folders. I'm going to set up work folders again. https://w1.corp.local. Hopefully this will be a bit quicker because my CPU is not running at 100%. So it's basically doing exactly the same thing, but what I'm trying to demo here is that you can have it for Windows 7 domain joined machines and Windows 8.1 machines. Now, if I copy a file in a Windows 7 machine and I have a Windows 7 machine and an 8.1 machine, that's totally fine. They can go back to the back same work folders location. But if I put a file in there, the pull synchronization is like every 5 minutes, approximately. All right. So how long will it take for a file minus the transmission speed of the file itself in case it's like really large is about 5 minutes. So it will pick up the fact that there's a new file there after 5 minutes. All right. So it's not pull replication. It's going to try to push that file out as quickly as possible. So this part does take a little time. All right. So let's just wonder how long I can hold my breath again. Anyway. All right. So one other thing. I'll just jump ahead while that's synchronizing. So one other thing they've done is I did mention that you've got the option to do integration with the file server, with other file server roles, but one of the things they have done is actually integrated right in to the console here to be able to configure the quotas for work folders. So here's what I'm going to do. Is I'm going to automatically create and apply a work folder with a 100 megabyte limit. So this is actually exactly the same as this option under here, which has been around since, 2003 R2 days, which is auto-apply quota templates. All right? This is exactly the same thing. It's just another way to configure it. I'm going to apply that quota. If I go back into here, you notice under quota management, there's the quotas now applied. All right? Back on my Windows 8 machine, I'm just going to do a sync now. Notice it just jumped from 115 gig down to 99.9 meg. All right, because basically now the user knows they only have 100 gig of available space to synchronize. Now what happens if the user puts more than 100 gig in there? They can put the files in there. It's their local hard drive. That's fine. It's just those files that go over the limit won't synchronize because they don't have the space. So they need to get it under that limit. And that alert there will go red and you'll get a little pop-up message saying, warning, you've got file errors. All right, so my Windows 7 machine is still kind of ticking along there. I'll let that just sit there for a minute, but I need to keep moving on. So very quickly, I need to go to 8. So how can I set up auto discovery? All right, I can use group policy, SCCM, and Intune to configure this explicitly on the user's machine, so that it just automatically works when they go to set it up. Or I can make it mandatory and actually just set it up for them without them even doing anything. So you can push this out via group policy. The URL base, so you saw how I typed in a URL there, you can provide that URL to the user. Or you can do proper auto-discovery, which is what I'm about to show you. But to give you the lowdown, basically here, and you can't see my mouse pointer. Yeah, here, as you can see, you need to set up a DNS address, and it has to be workfolders.yourdomainname. And your domain name needs to be that of your email address. All right, again, just like ActiveSync, right? Because it's using the email address the user types in, because we don't want the users to remember another URL. We're hoping they can remember their own email address, though, all right? Which is why they use it, because it's easy to remember. They just type in their email address. So it tells you who the user is, and it tells the domain name to go to look for this work folders, auto-discovery DNS address. All right, so quickly back over to here. Moving right along because demos are good. Yay, it worked! Windows 7. I promise I didn't do anything while it wasn't on the screen. I promise. I'm being serious. All right, so there you go. It did set up, and you can set it up. So it is asking you to encrypt these work folder files. So caveat, it's not using remote selective enterprise selective wipe here. It's using EFS, stock standard out-of-the-box encrypted file system. All right, so if you are implementing this, you should also implement BitLocker to prevent an out-of-bands attack, you know, like someone putting in a USB drive to boot into a system to get the files that way. So BitLocker is very much required. All right, but again, this is corporations. Who here has BitLocker on their Windows 7 machines? Right, yeah, okay, it's like BitLocker, it's a no-brainer, it's really good. All right, so that would protect you. So if you had BitLocker and you had the EFS, then that would protect you. All right, so back here. On my work folder share, I have an SSL certificate installed. I have two SSL certificates installed. One is called wf1.corp.local, which is the name of the server, and another one is called workfolders.corp.local. It's currently using this one because the URL I typed in was https. wf1.corp.local. I need to make it to use this one. So to do that, there are some netsh commands, all right, that you need to use to be able to assign it to a different SSL certificate. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go over here and I'm going to delete the current SSL certificate. And then I'm going to use this one here, which I know is my work folders one. That certificate hash error is the hash of the certificate. So if I actually go in and look at the certificate and go to the details and then go right down to the bottom here and go to thumbprint, B766EA, right? And then I've copied that whole thing previously. B766EA. So that's how I know that's the right one. Paste. All right, so what I've done now is on the server, I've actually told it to say, don't use this old machine computer certificate, use this workfolders.corp.local certificate. But another thing I have to do is I have to go into the domain controller and I have to set up a DNS alias to point to this server. So I'm just going to go in here, go to my internal zone, I'm going to create a new CNAME, which is called just workfolders, and I'm going to point it to my workfolder server. Now I can have multiple workfolder servers in my organization, and if you point everyone to the one workfolder server, all right, and if you have the 2012 R2 schema updates, it will automatically go, this is your work folder server over there, go to that work folder server instead and get your information. Similar to how, when you have Exchange, again, similar concepts, and you point Outlook at the one email server, that email server says to the Outlook, I am not your email server, that is your email server, go there. And it will move, then the connection automatically moves over to there and the user doesn't even know any difference. Very similar concept, again. So I'm going to go workfolder.local. All right, so now I have a DNS alias called workfolder.local. Workfolders, yep. All right, and I've changed the SSL certificate. So what I'm going to do here now is go back to my Windows 8 machine. Ah, see, I changed the SSL certificate. It errored out because I'm connecting as a different name. So I just stopped it. That's how easy it is to stop it if you've got it already set up. And I'm going to start it again. Now this time I'm just going to type in my email address. I don't have to type in my complicated URL. And what it's done is going, you know, at corp.local, it's just basically substituting workfolders.corp.local as my discovery URL. It's going to go off to that URL, discover it, and it's going to say, yes, I have a work folder share right here for you. Again, this takes about 30 seconds. There you go. That was a lot quicker. Okay, so there you go, and you can just set it up again. Yes, I have to accept these policies again because I'm setting it up again on that time, and I go close, and then boom, and there's my files. Right, so the files are there because it didn't actually delete the files off my local machine. So another thing you notice is these files are in green. This is this enterprise or enterprise control that allows you to do selective remote wipe. These files are encrypted. The private key for these files is stored on the local machine. You send that selective remote wipe command to the machine. It wipes those private keys that are used to wipe that. Invalidate access to that file. If you copy that file to a USB memory stick, external storage, the computer will warn you, you are about to copy it to external media. Do you want to remove the protection? Because that's what you have to do. Because it knows if it copies it to a USB memory stick, that file can be taken anywhere else. So this does not prevent you from your users from taking the files maliciously off their local machine that they've been working on at work and copying it to another USB memory stick. Does anyone know how you could stop the users from actually copying that content? What Microsoft product is used to actually lock the content down so users can't like email it off and take screenshots of it? RMS. If I had a prize, I'd give you one. I'm sorry, I don't have a prize. But yes, it's RMS. And so, I've set up auto discovery here, But the next thing to talk about is I still had to configure that. So I'm just going to quickly go in. I'm going to go in and go work folders. It's actually with a space. I'm going to stop it now, synchronizing it again. So it's a bit of rinse and repeat, but I want to show you incrementally how you set these things up. Because if I just jump right to how do you do it, you kind of do it. I want to get to understand all the interim steps. Because when you're setting things up and testing, you want to get working first, and you're going to get it a lot more advanced later. All right, so connect, group policy. Here's one I've created earlier, which is called workfolders. I'm going to link enable that. I'm going to go to my Windows 8 machine. I'm going to do a group policy update because all my sessions have group policy in them because I'm a group policy MVP. So I'm just doing a group policy update here. And so what I'll do is I'll just jump out and jump back. So what this is actually doing is it's actually now configuring work folders, the next group policy refresh. So this will apply asynchronously in the background. So you push it out to users. You don't even have to ask them to log off and log back on. All right. So that's why the user, there we go, and hopefully, boom. I'd stopped configuring it. I applied the group policy. It's just there, all right? That's basically, in an enterprise organization, the amount of effort you have to do. In a home environment, if you've got Windows 8.1, the amount of effort you have to do is type in your email address and accept those policies. All right, moving right along. All right, so working with other file server roles, we talked about it before. I showed you how to use per user quotas within the work folders thing, work folders management console itself. You can use file screens to block MP3s and MP4s. What does that look like? Very quickly, coming over here. So here I have an MP3 file, right? I go copy and I'm like, yeah, I've got 100 meg. I can just copy my favorite CD that I just bought and ripped and or downloaded off iTunes or Zune. And I can copy it here. So I paste my MP3 file over to here, and then in a second, it's going to go error. Basically, because I have a file server resource policy blocking MP3s on my file share, it's going to go access denied, and it's going to feed that access denied back to the user saying, I am not able to save this file, and this is the file name, to the remote share because there's a file screen policy applied to the server. All right, so you can use it with that file screen policy. Example number one. And how do you clear that? You just go delete and then resync. And then it goes, oh, I'm fine now. There's nothing access denied. It will give you a pop-up message, or when you're in the folder itself, there'll be an error status message down the bottom. And then if the user's complaining their MP3s aren't there, you can just say, too bad, so sad. Sorry. Well, you can change the extension. That's always been a way to get around MP3s. Like you can rename it to .txt, but you can't play it .txt. So you could transfer the file, but you couldn't play it from there. Yes, absolutely. That's always been a way to get around it. Yeah, it's same restrictions, same caveats, all apply. File server deduplication, someone from the audience mentioned that before. DFSR, you can replicate the data from one file share to another. Okay, that's good for offsite availability, but you don't have the work folder share at both ends. It's like active passive. All right? File server classification. So, what does that mean? So, on my file share, I also have a file server classification set up. Work folders? Yep. That actually does a content inspection of the file itself. So, it's actually looking for any file that has the term secret in it. And then what it does is if it finds that file called secret, it actually moves it to a different folder. So there's a content classifier. The content classifier is applied to the scope of C work folders. The classification is secret file. So if you have a look at that, string equals secret, minimum occurrence 1. If that pattern is matched, then it will go, yep, that matches. All right, and what do you do when that happens? Condition action. Move the file to C:secret files. So move the file out. So this is where we go. So what does that look like, both from the file server end and from the client end? All right. So here on the server on the right and the client here, I have a file which already has the word, it's It's called sh.txt, and it says secret stuff here. All right, I'm going to copy that file. I'm going to paste it in here. All right. It's going to copy that file over to here, which we should see appear in about 10 seconds. I'm not going to hold my breath because, you know, fainting on stage would be bad. There we go. So, content classification has kicked in. It's now scanning the content of that file, and if the content classification sees a file called that has the word secret in it, it knows the action is to move that file. So in a few short seconds, that file should disappear. Yay! And it has now moved that that file to C colon secret files, because that's where I want it. I could just as easily just delete the file, because you don't, maybe you go, well, we don't want secret files at all in work folders. If someone puts a secret file in there, it's gone. You probably wouldn't use the word secret, because, you know, there's a secret birthday party coming up for, you know, our colleague. But you probably have some sort of tag, or, you know, maybe it's a credit card number, you know, or personal identifiable health information or something like that, and there's some sort of tag you could do. So that's just basically move that file off. And the next time I go synchronize now, eventually, actually, no, I think that's going to be waiting for, like, the next polling for about 5 minutes. But what will happen is that eventually that file will then disappear because it's deleted now on the server and that delete gets replicated back down to here. So the user could copy the file there, but it would summarily disappear again after a short period of time. Moving right along. Okay. Also, you could use that content classification rather than just move the file. You could also use it to Active Directory Rights Manage encrypt it. As we said before, you can use ADRMS to encrypt the file. And it's like, well, if the file's secret, then we need to use ADRMS, right? Which might mean that the user can't access it from home, but they can from work. But they can copy the file, but it's encrypted, right? So using rights management. And I just showed you the content management demo. So that was that demo slide. All right, ADFS authentication. So domain join machines you've seen so far have all used Active Directory Federation, have all used integrated authentication. That's how it knew to the user was legitimately accessing the information they need because they're domain joined. If I was using a Windows 8.1 machine at home, it would just pop up a little dialog box that say, please enter your username and password. You know, the integrated authentication dialog box you get sometimes when you go to websites, things like that. But you can also use ADFS. The advantage of ADFS is you can use forms-based authentication, so you can customize the forms-based authentication to look like your corporate logo. You know, you're logging on to, you know, big corporation here. And you can also support for lightweight domain join devices and third-party extension of ADFS will also be compatible, so like extra layers of second-factor authentication. There is a nice link there. Again, my slides are available for download later, but there's a link there that you can go to that'll show you a nice demonstration on how to set that up in your own lab environment. It's great. I've done most of it already, so I've done all the ADFS, but I'm just going to demonstrate, once you have ADFS configured, how easy it is to actually enable ADFS authentication for work folders. So I'm on my work folder server here. I do have an ADFS server running, all right, which has been pre-configured. Now, I would definitely be saying refer to the TechNet articles of how to set that up. That's quite level 400 sort of stuff, but just be aware that it is available to you to use ADFS authentication. All right? I can't cover everything in this with 1 hour session. So to enable ADFS authentication, basically I go here, I click on server, and I click on the server role. I go work folder settings, and I go Active Directory Federation servers. And you basically just throw the ADFS URL. At the work folder server. And work folder server will now you be using Active Directory Federation services for its authentication. All right, so if you have an existing Active Directory Federation server set up, there you go. What does that look like? Okay, so I have a this is my Windows 8.1 non-domain join machine. This is my personal machine. They're my girls. I love them. Oh, they're so cute. Anyway, so this is my personal home machine. I can go to, I'm just going to do a simple test first. So basically, I'm doing a connection now using a non-domain join machine. Now, I could have had that little authentication pop up before, but now, yay, it worked. Still loading. So ADFS authentication prerequisite for Windows 7 is IE 9 or later. It will not work with IE 8 out of the box. So if you want to move to Internet Explorer 11, that would be fine. I just did a session with Chris Jackson about Internet Explorer 11. So if you want to learn how to move from IE 8 to IE 11, you could go to there. But as you can see, we have forms-based authentication here. And by default, out of the box, it's actually quite a responsive design sort of form. So you'll actually move depending on the size of your screen. As this here is configurable, so big corp, you know, put your corporate logo here and your corporate name there. And I'll put in here, corp/Alan, and I'll put in my password. So this is ADFS authentication, and I'm signing in. Hopefully I type the password right. Yeah, it's accepted the authentication. And there you go, and it's gonna go through the rest of the setup of the work folders using ADFS authentication. So you can extend the authentication of work folders to not just use integrated authentication, you can also use ADFS and everything else that ADFS enables you. You'd probably use ADFS authentication for external authentication of work folders. All right, so if you are gonna publish this through your firewall, I haven't got it set up here because I just didn't have time to go through everything. But what you can do is you can use the web proxy role, which is a new role in 2012 R2, to use it as a reverse proxy for your internal web proxy server, for your internal work folder server, sorry. Right? And you publish the web through the web proxy work folder server. When you do that, you can also set up ADFS authentication. And that's where you would typically set it up. All right, and then you can have ADFS to say use integrated authentication if I'm internal, and I can use forms-based authentication if I'm external, making it easier for your internal users, so single sign-on, because single sign-on's great. Single sign-on doesn't apply on the internet because they're not logged onto the domain, so then you can use form-based authentication. All right, so there you go, and I've just gone through it, and I accept it, and I set it up. And now on my non-domain join machine, so it's on an 8.1, remember this won't work on 7, but on 8.1 non-domain join machine, it's worked. And there we go. Just push the file straight down. All right, there you go. I got my files. Same thing. So now I have two machines. I have an 8.1 domain join machine, and I have my 8.1 machine at home, and I can synchronize my files between that. All right. Home stretch. Don't leave yet. Getting started, summary, build yourself a Windows 2012 R2 file server. You can do that in Azure. Add the file server role, set up the share, get the client if you don't already have an 8.1 machine, so Windows 7. So Windows 8 RT, Windows 7 is supported. There's a nice URL there, again, to set up your own test lab. Key takeaways are basically empower your users to be able to take data with them to and from home. This is really good for managers, right, because they might be working on a file at home or work at home, or you know, people who are allowed to work at home, they just want to send a file. But what if the file's like 20, 30 meg? You don't want to email that file around, right? And besides emailing a file around, that's not encrypted in transmission, right? People can intercept that. This is encrypted. So, you know, it's a good way to do that. It is very simple from the end user point of view to set up and deploy. From back end point of view, it's not too hard either. You just have to have certificates. That's probably the biggest caveat. You do need certificates installed to enable the HTTPS. If you have an existing server to 2012 R2 file server, you can just add the role to that right now. Okay, you can leverage your existing file servers, but you do need a 2012 R2. And again, you've got policies that you can apply to the clients to actually maintain the control of the security of this information when it's out in the field. These are the bunch of links and references. Please download the slides, and you'll probably need that. Please also rate my session if it was good. Give me great feedback. That would be excellent. I do hope that this was interesting. Who thinks that they might want to use work folders now in their organization or at least play with it? Yep, excellent. That's good to see so many hands go up. So really take this away. Start playing with it. Get it working in your own test lab. You can even get it started on just a handful of machines. So thank you very much, and I hope you have a great tech ed.